Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we're very privileged to speak to our colleague, the author, Andrew Collier. His book, China's Technology War, Why Beijing Took Down Its Tech Giants. Published in 22, is most helpful for 25. I've spoken with Andy about it. His insights, his expectations in 22 have all come true. We're now addressing larger issues that are pressing upon all of us. And the question of the Chinese economy and of outflow, capital outflow. Gordon, you have a question for Andy. And what, before you ask, what is capital outflow? What does it mean, Gordon?
It means money leaving a country, which is what it occurs occasionally for all countries. Andy, China in July suffered a record capital outflow, which was really sort of a function of liberalization of their capital controls. Was this significant, or was this really just a normal event?
No, it was significant because clearly China is starting to relax very gradually its capital controls. As you know, China has what is called a closed capital account, which means you can't really move money into and out of the country very easily, except under special circumstances. And the fact that we saw a fairly significant increase means that that's a slight change in policy. And the reason is, I think, pretty simple, is that China desperately wants to make the yuan a more important global currency because they're nervous about the sanctions that the United States may put on U.S. dollar. And a lot of their trade is in the U.S. dollar. The problem is that they are caught between that goal of internationalization and also letting too much currency leave the country, which would be disastrous for the domestic monetary policy.
The Bloomberg article that highlights this, $58.3 billion of funds overseas on behalf of their clients last month, just 1 month, points to the record set in 2010. Was there something special about 2010 that we're now the Chinese are now competing with it for outflow?
Well, 2010 was just after the financial crisis, and everybody was nervous about the future of China's economy. And plus, a lot of people thought China would devalue the currency to make their trade more, their exports more appealing. China didn't really do that. They were surprised everybody, but that was the expectation. So people trying to move their money offshore before that policy.
So this is associated with the panic of the Great Recession, that it's matching numbers because there's some sort of anxiety that at that level. Is that how to interpret it?
No, I wouldn't look at it that way at all. This is more of a government policy that they're encouraging controlled outflows. Admittedly, there's a lot of stuff that's moving offshore in the China's currency that are illegally or under the ground, or something they call smurfing, which is where you take a bunch of people and they all move their money offshore and then they combine it once it's over in the United States. But this is partly a controlled outflow.
Gordon, my memory is that when there is capital outflow, that suggests that, as Andy just said, there's control, but then there's the under the table stuff. I have a memory that two things can happen at once. Is that accurate?
Well, certainly. And we have seen throughout, the last couple decades, years where there is significant capital outflow. And a lot of it is done, as Andy says, by people just putting money in suitcases and walking across the border. But there have been other ways to do it. The casinos, for one, which is one of the reasons why Beijing cracked down on Macau. And there is over and under invoicing, which is also very handy, which is also not only getting money out, but also getting money into the country illegally. So there's all sorts of currency games that the Chinese are very clever in developing.
You have a question for Andy.
Andy, what is the effect of this currency outflow going to be on the renminbi and renminbi policy in Beijing?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, they're encouraging some of this outflow to go into Hong Kong because the Hong Kong market is becoming an alternative to the United States for companies to list. So the IPO business is starting to boom in Hong Kong. I think it was $14 billion last month in IPOs, that's a sale of shares by new companies. So part of that is being encouraged because they want to internationalize the currency in by using Hong Kong as kind of the escape hatch or the airlock, basically. But obviously, if you have too much under the table stuff, as you indicated, gambling and suitcases full of cash and that kind of thing, then Beijing is going to have to tighten up again. So they're very carefully wending their way through this kind of difficult path.
I need to understand these distinctions because, as I recall, and we've discussed this, Andy, Xi Jinping held an event in which he emphasized that he wants foreign investors to return to China and made remarks about how accommodating of foreign capital would be, the party would favor it, the state would favor if it comes back. And yet at the same time, we now have outflow not only of cash in the country, but also of people holding of Chinese bonds. They're selling off as well. So there are two pieces here. Do they connect? Xi Jinping wants foreign money, and yet they're supervising the exit of money?
Well, Xi Jinping wants a lot of things, but he's not going to get them in this case because foreigners have no interest in investing in China. As we have discussed, the economy is slowing quite markedly. The property sector is still in a free fall. And there's not and everybody who's a foreign investor is not comfortable with the political environment, given the conflict between the United States and China. So foreign direct investment is not happening. There's some isolated buying of certain stocks, like if you've got some hot AI or some vehicle stock or a consumer stock. Sure. But that's on the margins. Basically, China's off the table for most investors I talk to.
So what we have here is the Chinese supervising outflow. For what end? Why does this help them to send money overseas?
Well, they don't like to send money overseas because they want people to invest in China. But first of all, they realize that people want to get money overseas, and it's a bit of a safety valve. If you've got a bad economy, people are happier sending their money to a better economy. And the second reason, as I mentioned earlier, is that they want to internationalize the currency, get other people to trade in it in the yuan. And the only way to do that is to have more of it circulating outside of China. So they're trying to achieve a lot of aims that are somewhat in conflict.
Gordon, you have a question or a comment?
So, Andy, you talked about the booming initial public offering IPO market in Hong Kong. What about the Chinese markets inside the mainland, Shenzhen and Shanghai? How are they doing?
Well, there's a lot of interest in the tech sector because Xi Jinping has been throwing hundreds of billions of dollars at it. And we've seen some gains, obviously, with companies like DeepSeek in AI and then Huawei and the automobile industry. And now there's a lot of Catl, which is a CATL. It's a battery company that's I just read today. They're talking about putting up a battery swapping facilities so you can change your car battery in 3 minutes into a new one. So they've got certain areas that are of interest to people. So the markets are chasing that. But unfortunately, much of the economy in the industrial sector and in the property market is still in the doldrums. So that's not helpful for the markets.
The agreement between the U.S. and China has been postponed a number of weeks. Is that weighing on the markets at all? I mean, is there a general opinion that it's going to come out okay for China?
I don't think anybody's on either side of the pond is optimistic about the outcomes of those talks. There's going to be sanctions or tariffs on Chinese goods. The Chinese economy itself is suffering domestically. People are just hoping things won't get too much worse and there won't be any more incidents like we saw with two Chinese ships bumping into each other while they were chasing a Philippine ship in the South China Sea.
Right.
You know, as long as the world doesn't get worse, they're saying, OK, it'll just be bad.
So the money is not connected to anxiety about the trade deal. They've already accepted that it's going to be rough.
Exactly. I mean, it's the domestic economy is at this point a lot more important than any trade issues.
Gordon, what are you watching for in these supervised outflows? Is there anything irregular here, or is this all being done above board?
Well, it's not being done above board. It has really always had a large illegal component, whether money is coming in or going out of China. The one economic indicator I look at is really just this bank lending, which dropped precipitously last month, which took me by surprise, which is a real indication of what Andy just said, and that is the domestic economy isn't doing well, so businesses don't want to borrow because they don't see a productive use for their money. So that would be the factor I'd be looking at going forward when we look at the Chinese economy.
Andy, we have 30 seconds. What are you watching for to tell you whether the economy is weakening or strengthening?
I'm waiting for the property market to bottom out, probably not till 2026. I'm looking at whether local governments start running out of money, their deficits start crawling up, and how much stimulus the government puts out, which so far has been pretty meager.
Andrew Collier, author of China's Technology War, a prescient book published in 22, applies immediately today. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.